25 years ago it was a slum, and it is a slum today. The lanes are mud, the ovals still unsag. Outside one wretched hut, a woman crouching in the sun picks lice from a child's tangled hair, but in a rutted field nearby, where picks snuffle and root, there is a small, two-room schoolhouse. Its walls are made of tarred bamboo matting, and its gutters are shaped out of old soybean oil tins, but from within come the low, cheerful murmur of children at their lessons. Into this Calcutta slum in 1948, squalid now but far more squalid then, walked a woman in a white sari. She had no income, no savings, no property, only 5 rupees and an inspired calling, to help the poorest of India's poor. She knocked on oval doors, she put sturdy arms round ragged, barefoot children, she washed them, and, under a tree in an open field, she taught them. Today, Mother Teresa, the woman in the white sari, is among the best known women in India. She still has no money, no property, no savings of her own. But her real wealth is Himalayan in size. Her assets now include 7,500 children in 60 schools, 960,000 patients cared for in 213 dispensaries, 47,000 victims of leprosy in 54 clinics, 1,600 abandoned or orphaned children in 20 homes, and 3,400 destitute or dying people in 23 homes, all this in 35 cities and towns in India and in a dozen other countries. She is loved by the poor, and the neglected and revered by the missionaries of charity, the Catholic order she founded in 1950. She is admired by Hindu, Muslim, and Christian alike for a total commitment to the poor that transcends all barriers. In November 1969 she received India's Jawaharlal Nehru Award for her dedicated service to humanity, without considerations of nationality, caste or creed. A slight, stooped woman, now 62, scarcely more than 150 centimeters tall, with deep-set eyes and a calm, straightforward manner, Mother Teresa can break easily into laughter with a visitor. She can also be insistent, even sharp, in her low, soft voice, if this will benefit the needy. As one priest who differed with her on a certain project says wryly, she won't listen, that's one of her strengths. When Pope Paul invited her to open a branch of the Missionaries of Charity in the slums of Rome, some objection arose, that there were already too many nuns in Italy looking for suitable work to do. In that case, said Mother Teresa, my nuns will show them how to find work. She travels by third-class train, gets down on her hands and knees to scrub floors, cherishes and wears a shawl more darned than knitted. She sees in the poor what others often fail to see: their loneliness, their humor, their integrity, their fortitude. I am anxious for people to know of the greatness of the poor, she says. I once went to a Hindu family which had been starving, and brought them rice. Before I knew it, the mother had divided it and given half to the Muslim family next door. She said, they are just as hungry as we are. I believe we need the poor as much as they need us. We are the better for being in contact with them. Mother Teresa was born in 1910, of Albanian parents, in Skopje, Yugoslavia, where her father was a shopkeeper. As a youngster, she knew she had a vocation to help the poor, and at 18 she left home to become a nun. After training as an aspirant at the Loreto Abbey in Rathfarnham, Dublin, she was sent to Calcutta, where she took her final vows. There she taught at a convent high school, and became its principal. In 1946, she felt she must leave and go into the slums. Permission came after 2 years on her own appeal to Rome. She could go out alone, a free nun. How does a nun start a new career in the slums? Mother Teresa went to Patna, India, for brief, intensive training in nursing with the American Medical Missionary Sisters. Then, returning to the slums of Calcutta, she began collecting abandoned children to teach them hygiene, prescribing medicines for the sick, bringing food. She sought a center for her work, and a welcome break came when a family offered her rooms on the top floor of their large house. Quickly she recruited assistants, eventually 26 in all, who formed the nucleus of the Missionaries of Charity. They now number more than 700, and are mostly young and Indian. One sister remembers, Mother Teresa took me round, and showed me the house of well-to-do people, and said I must now go there, and ask them for food for our poor children. I was very shy. I did not want to do it. Mother said, sister, you must do it. Sometimes people would throw food on the ground and say, don't come again. But I said to myself, while, I do it for him. Mother Teresa's system of helping the poor is simplicity itself. She does what is possible. She has no idea where money will come from, says one admirer. But if a project is needed, she will go ahead. A crippled youth needs artificial legs. She will ask a diplomat in Calcutta to help send him overseas. A father living on the pavement with his family of five asks her to take in his teenage daughters. There is really no room available, but she takes them in. Her first large-scale venture, a home for the destitute, sick and dying, was started when she saw an old woman, bitten by rats and ants, dying in the street. She gathered her up and took her to hospital, which at first refused her admission. Mother Teresa would not move until the hospital accepted her. Then she went to the municipal authorities and asked for a shelter, where the dying poor could die in dignity. She was offered a vacant pilgrim hostel adjoining a Hindu temple, and the following day she and her sisters, and the dying, moved in. Today, some 150 homeless poor, many critically ill, are washed, fed and sheltered in this Calcutta home, called Nirmal Rai Day, Pure Heart. They are treated by the sisters and doctors, and by the Missionary Brothers of Charity, a companion order established in 1963. Some 27,000 people, unacceptable elsewhere, have been brought here. Far different in atmosphere, is a school in a Calcutta lane, amber with sunlight filtering through palm trees. The Missionaries of Charity now run 10 schools with 2,500 pupils in Calcutta. A few are in a single room, others, like this one, are larger but by no means luxurious. Some 250 children, aged 5 to 13, come here for education, and for bread and milk. The milk is a gift from children in Denmark. The flour is bought with money contributed by British school children to the Bread Appeal Fund for Hungry Children. The origin of the school is typical. Mother Teresa saw idle land near a slum, and approached the Bengali owner for permission to put up a school. He not only gave permission, he gave the land, and erected the school. Mother Teresa can get anyone to help, says one volunteer. She makes you climb mountains for her. Sometimes her proposals seem baffling. She bought a printing press for lepers, wrote Malcolm Muggeridge in Something Beautiful for God, so that they could print pamphlets and make a little money. How did she know what press to buy? And with those stumps, how could the lepers hope to set type? Fatuous questions. The press is there and working. In January 1971, Mother Teresa was called to Rome to accept the first International Pope John XXIII Peace Prize, and with it a check for Rs 1.9 lakh. She tucked it in her cloth bag to take back to India, and has since used the money to start a model colony for leprosy patients in West Bengal. Her funds were again boosted when she was chosen out of 2,000 nominees from 80 countries to receive the first Templeton Foundation Prize for Progress in Religion, presenting her with the Rs 6.46 lakh award in London in April 1969. Prince Philip said, "The sheer goodness which shines through Mother Teresa's life and work can only inspire humility, wonder and admiration. The poor and Mother Teresa not only meet in India but in Tanzania, Yemen, the Gaza Strip, Bangladesh, Mauritius, Australia, England, Ireland, Venezuela, Italy, Jordan and the United States. In all these places there are small branches of Missionaries of Charity where five or six sisters in white saris carry on the vocation which began in the Calcutta slum 25 years ago. In Paddington, London, Missionaries of Charity visit the old and the sick, run a home for homeless, destitute women and have plans for a similar home for men. Their novitiate in Southall, Middlesex, trains novices from Britain, the United States, France, Italy, and India. They are also active in Northern Ireland, where they work with a group of Anglican nuns, in running a play school in the Catholic area of Belfast, and in organizing dressmaking and typing classes for women. During the earlier years, Mother Teresa chose each one of the Missionaries of Charity herself. This is not possible now, but she still insists upon four qualities: good health, common sense, the ability to learn, and a cheerful disposition. The work is rugged. There are no luxuries whatever. Each sister owns only cotton saris, sandals, an umbrella, a sweater for cool weather, a few accessories, and a metal bucket in which to do her washing. There's real sacrifice, says one sister frankly. We come for a hard life and we get dotted. To the outsider, a question persists. What can induce Mother Teresa and hundreds of sisters to pour out a lifetime for the poorest of the poor? There is an answer, one given by an Indian churchman in New Delhi. The sisters take literally the injunction of Christ, "As you did to one of the least of these my brethren, you did unto me." To Mother Teresa and the sisters, the poor are Christ in disguise. Or, as a volunteer who works with her says, Mother Teresa sees the divinity in us all.